Morning, Chris Hull, Wake Forest Baptist Health Infectious Diseases. So, had a week off last week, and it's been a fairly quiet week here in the Triad area. Maybe not so much in the country, a few things that we have to talk about today. So, nationally, as far as our COVID case numbers go, the majority of the U.S. is still relatively low. A notable exception is southwest Missouri and northwest Arkansas, which is the Ozarks, and a great place to camp, get out on the water, but right now they're having a fair amount of COVID. It's about 90% Delta variant there, and the Delta variant seems to be a little bit more prevalent in the very central and then western part of the U.S. We'll talk more about that variant in a minute. But so with they're seeing roughly somewhere between 30 to 60 cases per day per 100,000 people, which for a fairly unpopulated area is a lot of COVID. So I was hearing from one of my colleagues, one of our fellows that we trained here, who's been there now for almost 20 years. Their hospital in Springfield, Missouri, is roughly at two-thirds of the COVID capacity that it was in January. So if you remember how bad January was, that's a lot of COVID for them. Their ICU are pretty full, and they're getting a lot of cases. So what makes that part of the country different? One, well, it's circulating Delta variant, which is a little bit more infectious and a little bit more likely to cause hospitalization. And then the second thing is their vaccination rates are pretty low. In Greene County, which is Springfield, their rates are somewhere high 30s for completely vaccinated, but the counties around them, some of them are as low as in the teens. As we'll talk about in a minute, the Delta variant takes advantage of that. So COVID's not completely gone. And in some areas, they're having to wrestle with it again.
That wave in Missouri and Arkansas will become almost as bad as what it was in January form. Their case numbers are still increasing. So here in the Triad right now, in the summer, going into July, we're in a bit of a nice spot, actually. Our case rate here is about 5 per 100,000 per day here in Forsyth County, which is up a little bit from what it was 2 weeks ago. Our percent positive tests are still less than 5%, which is a nice place to be. Our hospitals have a stable amount of COVID. We're still admitting patients to our hospitals with COVID, and occasionally we're still admitting them to the ICU, and we're still having a death here and there. So. There is still COVID around here too, but not nearly what it is in the central part of the U.S. right now. How long will we be this way? Well, it all depends on the Delta variant, and just a little bit of analysis on that I've done. Some of it a bit sobering. So. Right now in Scotland and England, they were running about 90% of their strains of the Delta variant. Their case numbers are continuing to increase. In England as a whole, it's about 25 per 100,000 per day, so a little less than Missouri, but more than here. And it's still going up. There's some places, particularly in northern England and bordering Scotland, where it's even higher. So why do I bring that up? Well, they're a lot like us here in our area as far as percents of numbers vaccinated and proportion of people who are getting infected who are young there. So the one thing that's striking in the experience in Scotland and England is that The people who are getting COVID are largely unvaccinated people. And to put it in perspective, it's about 1% or less of the people getting admitted to hospitals have been vaccinated. So about 99% of people getting admitted to hospitals are unvaccinated. Same experience in southern Missouri. Out of 100 people in the last week, only one had been vaccinated, an elderly person with underlying diseases. So the experience we're seeing in England and Scotland could be very reflective of what's going to happen here. Their overall percentage of vaccination is about the same, and they also have a large portion of their younger people who are unvaccinated. So I checked with Joshua Swift, Forsyth County Health Department, yesterday. Our percentage of people between the ages of 12 and 18 who have been vaccinated is roughly about 25% of that group. And I'll be quite frank, that's just not high enough. It's not going to be high enough to protect us from the Delta variant and to slow its circulation. And it's going to be the younger people who are going to be getting infected. So I'm anticipating that we'll have another wave of COVID here in the Triad area. Maybe not quite as bad as southern Missouri or northern Arkansas. Nevertheless, we'll have one. And it'll be right about the time that school starts again, which is going to be an intersection, which is going to be a little bit problematic. And it just means we're going to have to be nimble, and we're going to have to keep an eye on things. And we're going to have to go back to masking in our schools. And there will be certain workplaces that have low rates of vaccination where masking will be important, probably even for the vaccinated people. So we can make all of this better by getting vaccinated now. We have some time before the Delta variant will start to become a problem here. Right now, the percentage of our strains that are Delta in our region here are estimated between 11 and 16% based on surveillance data. That'll double every 10 days. So by the time we get into mid-August, it'll be the predominant strain that we have here in the Triad. And then we'll start to see our cases go up after that, and then we'll start to see our hospitalizations go up after that. Unfortunately, it's going to be in our younger unvaccinated people, people between the ages of 12 to 30, basically. So now's the time to go get it before all that happens. So I've been talking about how vaccine is still robust against variants. That was true with alpha, beta, gamma. I won't even go into the numbers that those were. But it's also true with Delta. So overall efficacy of the messenger RNA vaccines is roughly 85 to 90%, and it's still very close to 100% for hospitalization and severe disease. So that is good. But you need two shots. One shot just isn't enough of those two vaccines. Why should you get vaccinated? So I've had people ask me, you know, if every now and then somebody who's been vaccinated still gets COVID, what's the use? Okay. Here's the number one reason to not get vaccinated now is to protect yourself. Be selfish, be conceited, get vaccinated and protect yourself. Yeah, maybe one out of 100 might get COVID, and it's going to be like a cold. It's not going to throw you in the hospital. It's not going to knock you out, and it's not going to kill you. So number one reason is protect yourself. Be selfish. Number two is to protect the loved ones around you who may be more vulnerable, aged, people with other underlying diseases and such, because if you get it, you're going to give it to them. Household transmission with the Delta variant, 50%. 50% of the people in a household are going to get it if you get it. Number three is do things that you want to do. If you've been vaccinated and been exposed, then you're not going to have to quarantine. You're not going to have to run out and get tested. So that means if you're between the ages of 12 and 18 and you've been exposed and you've been vaccinated, it means you can still go to school, you can still play sports, you can still go club activities, you can still hang out with your friends. If you're unvaccinated, you're going to spend 10 days in a box. That's called quarantine. And then lastly is be a good citizen for your community. If we can get our vaccination percentages up higher than they are now, the Delta variant will be a minor hiccup for us rather than something that's going to set us back. Right now, with the vaccination percentages that we have right now, the Delta variant, when it comes around, is going to set us back. It won't be as bad as January, but it's going to get in the way of things that we want to do. It's going to get in the way of being normal. So if that's not a reason to get vaccinated, I'm not sure what is. So the Delta variant reared its head a little bit, hit close to home with NC State. NC State playing out west, and they got a little bit of Delta variant. Unfortunately, less than half of the team had been vaccinated. And then a few other players, a couple who had been vaccinated, tested positive when they went in and tested everyone. They were totally asymptomatic, had no symptoms at all. But it knocked them out of the tournament. And man, what a heartbreak. I mean, my heart really goes out to them. It wouldn't have happened if they had all been vaccinated. They'd still be playing. Maybe they'd be the number one. So, but a little bit of an unfortunate situation. Like I said, COVID's still around, still dealing with it. Some good news, yet again on the vaccination front, studies come out too in some very high-level journals in the last week. One is that the longevity of an immune response to COVID from vaccination seems to be pretty good. So our clinical trials started about a year ago for Moderna and Pfizer. So we're out a year, so now we know how long immunity lasts from getting vaccinated. At a year, still going strong. That's good. That may mean we won't need booster shots a lot. The other thing that came out is natural immunity seems to be pretty robust too. And even if you measure negative in antibodies, people are still showing that in advanced immunologic studies that there is neutralizing protection against the virus. So that's good news too. So put all that together, will we need to have a booster coming up this winter? You know, I think we might still, because we want to kind of clean up and get some coverage for the variants that are going around, which will just make the vaccine a little bit more robust. So wait and see. One thing about the variants and vaccination is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So we don't have much data right now with how good one shot of Johnson & Johnson is against the Delta variant. Seems to be hanging up pretty well against the Alpha and the Gamma and the Beta, but the Delta, we don't have enough data yet. And that's because the places in the world that we're looking at as experience, which includes Missouri now, didn't get Johnson & Johnson for the large amount. So we'll have to wait and see from Missouri and Northern Arkansas what we find out. I think we'll have some data on Johnson & Johnson from there pretty soon. I've been asked if, since Johnson & Johnson's only one shot, should I go out and get another shot of a different type of vaccine? Their study in England just got put out in the peer review literature that shows that if you mix and match vaccines up a little bit, messenger RNA number one, a vectored vaccine number two, or you flip that the immunity may be a little bit more robust from that one study, so we'll see. I would wait to get a second shot if you got one Johnson & Johnson, particularly for our region here, because we have a few weeks, I would wait until the ACIP says to do it, or says that it's a useful thing to do. That's what I'm doing in my own practice. And that includes for immunocompromised people. If you're looking at getting a third shot, I don't think you should do it yet. We'll let you know when the studies are done so that we know that it works well and that it's safe. I think it will be, but let's wait a little bit until we do that. Vaccinations, I was emphasizing between the 12 and 18-year-olds. We really need to get that percentage up in our region. But parents ask me, well, what about the myocarditis thing? I don't want my kid to get myocarditis. All right, let's put myocarditis in perspective. If you get COVID, you have a 20% chance of having myocarditis. Might be subclinical, a little bit of chest pain with your cough, but it's up there. You get myocarditis from COVID. Most common cause of myocarditis over the past year in the United States, by far and away, was COVID. So you get it from the disease. From the vaccine, the likely association between myocarditis and the vaccine in the highest risk area, which is in males that are in adolescence and early 20s, is 60, roughly 60 per 1 million. All right. So put that together, if you get COVID, you got a 20% chance. That's 1 in 5. If you get vaccinated, you got a 60 per million. So uncommon. The other thing about the potential association in with myocarditis and the vaccine is that 78% of the people who've gotten it so far have completely recovered. Normal heart function, normal enzymes, normal everything. The other group will likely become that way in a few weeks as they go through it too. So it seems to be fairly mild. There have been no ramifications. There have been no deaths due to it yet. And the risk of getting myocarditis or the risk of having a problem from it if you do get that rare case, pretty darn low. So the benefit of getting vaccinated clearly outweighs the risk, even in the 12 to 18-year-old group, because that's the group the Delta variant is going to be looking to go get. A little bit about summer camps. You know, I was saying the best thing you can do to keep your child safe during summer camp is to get them vaccinated before they go. So what happens if you don't? Well, just had some experience from a camp in Illinois. The vast majority of the people who went to that camp hadn't got vaccinated. There were, 85 cases of COVID in that summer group camp in the two-week period that they were there. All of the kids were of the age group who could have been vaccinated, so the camp had to get shut down. Everyone went home, COVID circulated. So if you remember last year, the summer camps had problems, particularly the sleepaway summer camps. The day camps, not so much. The sleepaway camps did. So think about it this way. If you're a largely unvaccinated group of people and you're not wearing masks now, you have just transported yourself back in time to when we were struggling with COVID. And now there'll be a Delta variant to deal with on top of it. So if you're going to camp, get vaccinated before you go and have a normal camp experience. It's fun. It's great. I wish I could do it again, be a camper and teenage camp, but get vaccinated before you go. FDA approval for our messenger RNA vaccines anticipated in the next month. When that happens, you'll start to hear a lot more talk about vaccine mandates for universities and some workplaces, particularly workplaces like meatpacking plants and places that have struggled with COVID. In fact, still are. And largely you'll be hearing about it for healthcare facilities, because healthcare facilities, the number one mission is to protect their patients and to protect their staff. And if you remember, that was the first group of people to get vaccinated. There was a reason for that. So you'll be hearing those discussions once the FDA approval comes out. So I think that's all on my docket. Any questions?
Yes, so I know you already touched on the NC State baseball team, but we've had several comments about, well, see, the majority of players that tested positive and ruined it were already vaccinated. You know, what's the point?
That's actually not true. Yeah. So here's what happened. Not to get in too far into details that maybe I know, but others might not, that the COVID got into the team in the unvaccinated group of people who got symptomatic infection and were high levels of shedders. And then the whole team was tested. And there were a few that tested positive in the vaccinated group of people who were totally asymptomatic and not sick. So this is why we say that you want you're looking at a group of people who are very close together, congregate, and you get pretty close together in a dugout for a long period of time. People who are, you know, sitting baseball know that it's a long period of time when you're in the dugout together, that unvaccinated people can transiently colonize or potentially infect vaccinated people. Those people won't get sick, but if you test them, they might test positive. What's the significance of that? Are they going to transmit it to other people? Unlikely still. Our transmission studies show that vaccinated people transmitting COVID to other people is very unlikely. So if you test a whole cross-section of people, you might find it in some vaccinated people who've had long-term prolonged contact with symptomatic unvaccinated shedders.
And is there any worry that, the numbers look better, that maybe part of it is people aren't testing as much as they were, say, a year ago?
People are not testing as much right now, so the worry is are we just not finding it? You know, I think right now, even with reduced testing, we still have a low circulating amount of virus in our area. And that's, our percent positives are still low, and our number of hospitalizations are low. You know, the hospitalizations are kind of looking at the peak of the iceberg. You get an idea how big the iceberg is underneath it by looking at what's popping up above the water. Yeah, so I think we're in a sweet spot right now. And people should enjoy that in our area. But I wouldn't let down our guard. I think our cases will go up at the end of the summer, and we'll have to be nimble and respond to that. And we can keep that from happening if we get vaccinated now.
So now you touched on this earlier, but I got this question, maybe you can elaborate a little more. So if the Delta variant becomes dominant, how do you see this impacting the upcoming school year and possible impacts to hospitals and the traffic?
Yeah, so when the Delta variant becomes dominant for us in the fall, how's that going to impact our schools and our hospitals? Well, our hospitalizations will go up again. It'll be a lot younger cohort of people because it's the risk of hospitalization, at least based on Scotland data and as suggested from Southern Missouri, is about 1.8 times higher than the usual strains. So our hospitalizations will go up. Will we be like we were in January? Chalked to the brim and looking to have to postpone elective surgeries and things like that again? I doubt it. I don't think it'll get that high. But it'll be enough to be an annoyance and for us to have to respond to it and make sure we have staffing and beds, yes. So a little bit more like the wave like it was last July or this past April, but not as bad as it was in January. Now for our schools, so there's two things. There's the high schools and then there's the younger kids. The younger kids won't have an opportunity to get vaccinated probably in October and November. So elementary schools are basically going to have to operate like they did before, we got into our low numbers. So our elementary schools got through December, January, February, March, and April, when there was quite a bit of COVID still circulating around, and we did it safely, and we were able to get it done. We did it with masks, we did it with distancing. So the distancing now for schools will be about 3 feet, which enables them to do what they need to do. Masks will still be worn. I don't think they have to cohort quite as much as they did before, because we're a little bit better with our contact tracing. And I think we can open up some more after school activities and a few more sports for the younger kids. High schools, it all depends on how much of the high school's been vaccinated. So here in Forsyth County, it's only about 25-28%, something like that, which is just not high enough to have a normal school year. So it's very likely, or I would recommend that our high schools continue to mask, continue to support 3 feet of distancing, and be smart about their after school activities and how they're done. And I think if we do that, and we do it nimbly and respond, I think we'll get through the school year without any big problems. I mean, we did it before, so we can do it again. Because there won't be quite as much going around. If we made it through January and February, we can do it this fall.
I got kind of got two questions, but they might run into the same question here. Someone that has had COVID, how important is it that, or they really need to get vaccinated? And also, when you talked about the approval, and then there's going to be mandates coming out, how are they going to treat that? Would someone that's had it don't have to do it? I mean, some people are, there's even suits right now where people are saying, I shouldn't have to get it because I have it.
Right. So here's the thing is, if you've had COVID before, why should you still get vaccinated? It's pretty clear that what happens if you've had COVID before and you get vaccinated, there's two things that happen that are very useful for you. One is your level of neutralizing antibody exponentially increases after the first shot of the vaccine. Two is that the breadth of the antibody response is much more likely to cover variants. So you get a more broad response. In other words, your antibody potpourri has some diversity to it that neutralize variants, and you have a lot more antibodies to do it. Interestingly, if you've had COVID before, the first shot's the biggie. The second one maybe isn't as necessary. Our EUA still says to do two, but the first shot gives you quite a bit of boost. So if I'd had COVID before, I'd go out and get a vaccine. I think that answers your question.
Do you think that when it comes to mandate, do you think they'll take that into consideration?
So the question is when we think about mandates. First of all, mandates are a little ways off yet, and so I wouldn't lose any sleep about mandates right now. when it happens, if you've previously had COVID, I think that it'll be in there that you still need to get it. So some of the universities that are mandating vaccines right now still are requiring vaccination for people who've had COVID before.
I've got another one. We've had one winner in the vaccine lottery. How do you think that's helped? Do you think that's doing good?
Well, thanks for bringing that up. We've had one winner in our vaccine lottery, interestingly, from Winston-Salem. So has that helped? Here in our area here, we haven't seen a huge turnout in people because of the lottery. The impact's been minor, but all I know is I was pulling for me or one of my people I know to have won. But it's, you can add that. That's reason number five to get vaccinated, right? You could win a lottery. It's a free lottery ticket, basically. somebody offered you a free Powerball ticket, would you take it?
So we had a couple questions on this. I know you've addressed this already, but go ahead and read the question from the person in their early 40s. They got the J&J vaccine about 4 months ago, hearing it might be advantageous to get the mRNA. You say not yet. And they ask, if I do get one, do I go ahead and get both shots of Pfizer or Moderna, or just one on top of my J&J?
I would wait for the ACIP to tell us how to do it. The ACIP, by the way, these are the people who tell us how to vaccine, to do vaccines. This group has been around since, the 1960s or 70s. And they tell us what our childhood immunization schedules are, our adult immunization schedules. They're the one that says you need a tetanus shot every 10 years. So they look at this data. I have a feeling they're going to have something to say about that in the next few weeks. So be nimble, be looking for it. You got a little bit of time.
Any concerns for the 4th of July or any?
Oh, 4th of July, yeah, I forgot about that. Sunday's the 4th of July. You know, for our region right now, I would take advantage of our low case rates and have some fun. And certainly anything outdoors is fine. If you have an unvaccinated child, try to keep it outside, have a cookout rather than a big indoor playtime. When you go inside, wear a mask. So here's how I tell the families: if you got a seven-year-old and you want to go out and get something to eat, have some outdoor dining, you go in to go to the bathroom, seven-year-old wears a mask to go in to use the bathroom. If it's a real crowded situation that you're entering, have your seven-year-old wear a mask. I think let's have fun on the 4th of July. That's my main advice. Right now our case rates are so low, I don't have too much concern. There's some other things though, like don't drown, so wear a life jacket. If you're boating, avoid alcohol. If you're out hiking and camping, check for ticks. but all those things we should be doing anyway, even without COVID.